Hello, and welcome to Knock Off Drinks with a Difference. I'm your host, Amy Armstrong, passionate non-alcoholic expert and sober socialite. Grab your favorite glass of non-alcoholic wine and join me on the couch for a chat about all things alcohol-free.
So today on the couch, I am sat with a beautiful glass of rosé that does not look like a glass of rosé, but tastes incredible. This is the Two Hoots rosé from South Africa that I've just reviewed, and it is the best rosé that I have tried, the best non-alcoholic rosé that I've tried. And I am very pleased to be sitting here on my couch in the sunshine with my beautiful friend, Emma Gilmore, who you may all know as Hope Rising Coaching. Hi, Emma.
Hi there, Amy. That looks delicious.
It is delicious. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's amazing. Like some of the best non-alcoholic wines right now are coming out of South Africa. They've got something good going on there. They've got some really good makers. So anything that's labeled South Africa, I think, is worth a try. It's my hot tip of the week. Yep.
Get it. I used to love a South African wine back in my day. So yeah. I look forward to trying that.
Yeah. Well, as you know, well, on Sunday, you'll be coming to my red wine tasting, and we're trying Naughty Syrah at that, which is made in South Africa.
Very nice.
Another good benchmark of that. So South African wines, stick with them. So I'm really glad that you're here today, Emma. You're on the precipice of a very exciting launch for your business. Do you want to tell me a little bit about what's going on there with that?
Yeah. So we are launching the first Aussie alcohol experiment of the year, which is a completely revamped version of, I ran three Aussie alcohol experiments last year, and I did them as a hybrid. So they were half this Naked Minds alcohol experiment and half my Aussie alcohol experiment. And then this year I had feedback from clients that they were looking for something that was 100% kind of me. In the nicest possible way. And so I have reworked and created all the videos myself. And so I'm relaunching the program as 100% Emma's Aussie Alcohol Experiment.
That's a big project.
It was a big project. It's a baby. And I think because I know you also found freedom from alcohol using the alcohol experiment, it's such a passion project of mine, because that's also how I found my life that I'm living now, which is why I enjoy so much. I want to share it with as many people
with
as
everyone.
Possible.
I love that you say that I found my freedom from alcohol. I love that. That's such a nice way of putting it. So you did the alcohol experiment yourself?
Yeah. So that was I did the alcohol experiment back in January 2020 after probably about 2 years of doing, you know, dry July, sober October, Feb fast, and feeling like I was having a terrible time through each of them. And then, you know, loading up with booze beforehand and then drinking like a maniac afterwards.
Making up for lost time. Yes.
Correct. And I knew that something wasn't right with my relationship with alcohol. I had been running on empty for a really long time, worked in corporate marketing for big global companies, had two very small children. I was working 5 days a week. I was on Zoom calls all through the night and I was running on empty. And I think I was using booze, not necessarily in the way that anyone else would see as being problematic, but I was definitely using it in a way that was problematic for me. Mm-hmm. And I was using that and caffeine. And then I had a situation in my workplace where I had a toxic boss came in, and I just didn't have the resources. I didn't have the, you know, I was brittle. I didn't have the resources to be able to cope with it.
Because you're constantly like in a forced state of either up or down with your caffeine and your booze, yeah? You're not in a natural state or having those natural abilities to have those coping mechanisms.
No resilience and just running on absolute empty in a state of fight or flight, like literally living in a state of fight or flight for, I think, probably from when I went back to work full-time after having my kids. And I don't think that's an uncommon story. Like I'd get up, I'd run. I used to run half marathons. I'd run three times a week. To all intents and purposes on the outside, I looked like I had it all. But I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, like we do, and I hated myself.
Mm. Which is not a good way to be.
No. And I had that cognitive dissonance. I had that, you know, I'd make all these promises in the morning and then by the evening I'd be drinking.
Mm.
And it took that situation with what happened at work, and it took me, you know, a good sort of 2 years to recover mentally from that. Over that period of time, I retrained as a psychologist and not a psychologist, a psychotherapist and a counsellor. And then I, my kids basically were my why, like so many of us, like in your post. Mm. And my eldest kid said to me, "Mum," after we'd had a really big party, she said, "Mum, can you not bring wine into the bedroom when you're putting us to bed? Because it makes me feel anxious." And that was probably my final wake up call before I started reading Annie's book, listening to her podcasts, took some time out of beating myself up for drinking and just examined my drinking practices. And then in January 2020, I joined the alcohol experiment. And within 2 weeks, I was like, this is what I want to do with my life. I need to share this with everybody else.
Yeah. And you had that, like I experienced that immediate, like, flicking of the light switch, yeah. Like, why had I not seen all of this up until this yeah. point? Like, it's yeah. like such a light bulb moment, isn't it? Like,
it's just incredible. And that, yeah. you know, the lies you tell yourself and the lies that you've been telling yourself for years, and that wake up to, like, oh my goodness, if I've been lying to myself about this, what else?
Yeah.
Have I been lying to myself about?
Mm. Yeah. And I think that's why so many of us who do go alcohol free have, like, it's not like they stop drinking and then their life just continues on the same. I think so many of us have these big revolutionary life overhauls, don't we, as soon as we stop drinking,
exactly,
because
right.
how much we have been pulling the wool over our eyes and how much we have been kind of faking our way through so much.
Yeah right yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but I started drinking, and I'm pretty sure your story is not dissimilar, but I started drinking very young.
Yeah
And so and I find this more and more as I go through life post drinking, is I hadn't fully formed as a person at all. And I find a lot of this journey now about discovering who I really am.
Yeah.
And learning how to manage myself without using alcohol as a coping mechanism for managing myself in the world that we find ourselves, right?
Mm. Yeah. Managing life.
Yeah. Managing life. And particularly managing our relationships.
Mm.
And I think one of the things I found such a, I felt like when I stopped drinking, I was like a little raw chicken, like a chicken, not a raw chicken, a little chick that comes out of
a raw chicken. Win.
A little raw chicken.
A pre-cooked,
you know what?
Roast chicken.
That actually sounds like what it was like, as opposed to a chick.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what I meant, a chick without its feathers, but a little raw chicken. Actually sounds more like it. It's like you've got no skin, right? You've got like, you're out there and you're vulnerable and you don't know how to manage your experience and other people. All the things you used to drink, like, I don't know about you, but I always used to feel like I could feel everybody's vibration in the room. Like, I'd know.
Absolutely.
And I'd be, yeah. And that's so many of us have that experience. And I think that's two things. One, it's a part of this not having fully developed our own physical boundaries, like our physical, like our skin. We're like porous, you know. And so we've got that. And then there's just also, there's a lot of very empathetic, highly highly sensitive people. And the reason that we drink is because we feel things a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're very porous with regards to our relationships with other people. They impact us quite mm-hmm. heavily, don't they?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of empaths.
That's right. That's right.
Big time. Eh. So when you were in those sort of last 2 years where things started really coming to a head and you knew you had to change something, but you didn't know how, and you were like pushing it against yourself constantly. And I know that's how you felt, because that's how I felt. You were hating what you were doing, but you didn't know what else to do. Were you in like a cycle of drinking every day, or were you just binge drinking on the weekends, or what did that look like for you?
It really depended on the day of the week and the week of the year. But quite often I was in a heavily maintained way. And I find that with a lot of women as well. Like, I'd be really strict with myself. I'd be like, right, okay, I don't drink at all during the week, and then I'll drink at the weekend, and I'll run, and then I'll run a half marathon. But at the weekends, I would always really, really massively binge. Mm. And then sometimes I'd just let it go and I'd just be drinking.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And then I'd be having breaks.
Time to take generally a couple of weeks off. Yeah.
That's right. And generally I'd be beating myself up for whatever it is I was doing at the time. Mm. I wasn't doing it well. And I think that's the beauty of the alcohol experiment, and what you learn through this Naked Mind is that, you know, that kindness and that self-compassion and that knowing that you're doing the best you can with the tools you have, and realizing that it's not you, you're not broken, and you're not to blame.
Yeah. And a big part of that for me was learning to let go of that, the guilt, not only the guilt, but the ownership of all the negativity. It was a massive relief. I kind of had, like, with my drinking, I kind of feel like I could have ended up being an everyday drinker if I was allowed to, but
yeah,
because of the relationship that I'm in, you know, like, I got banned from drinking wine in the house. We would only be allowed to drink beer together at home. I was never drinking every day.
Yeah.
But then when I was away from the home, if I was away for work or away for something fun, or if I was even just out for dinner with the girlfriends, it would be like, I was pushing against that control so much. It was like, how quickly can I get a glass of red wine down my neck, and then the rest of it. So my relationship was under strain from all of this for a long time. And it's been interesting for me coming out of that and no longer having that presence in the family dynamic anymore, what a change that has made.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. And I think for myself and Damien, we were enablers of each other. And we had always been partners in crime, and then somehow or other the dynamic between us changed.
Mm.
And it was like he took on a parental role and I took on a child role.
Mm.
And I don't think it was anybody's fault that happened, but it's what happened. And what I think, and I hear this so much from so many women, is what happened was that we weren't on the same level, which meant that one person was kind of being the authoritarian and the other person was feeling really frustrated and behaving like a teenager, rebelling, kicking, or self-silencing and resenting.
Mm.
And that was really strong for me. And I think it's so strong for so many women, and so many reasons why so many women drink is because there's something, it's not necessarily about our partners, but there's something in our culture, our society, about the role of women.
Mm.
And once we have children, particularly, we become more vulnerable to falling into that role.
Yeah.
And we have, it feels like we have a lot to lose by not abandoning ourselves. by standing in our own truth and speaking it with a brave voice.
Mm.
And it's almost like you have to get to the point where you're no longer afraid of what you might lose. That fear is less than the fear of losing yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So how have you sort of managed that shift going into your alcohol-free life?
Yeah, so it's taken a while, and actually I've done quite a lot of training and work on it, and that I bring into the work that I do. Mm. I work with a coach around somatic experiencing and regulating the nervous system, and so I bring that into my work a lot. And there's been a lot of things that really surprised me. Like, I, you know, when I was talking about having porous boundaries, I remember inviting Damien to my house when I was living with my family. And I remember him saying to me, I'm just going to take myself off for a bit because I need some quiet time. And I was like, what? we don't do that in our house. Mm. No, we literally will just sit in this swarming mass of everybody. No one's kind of allowed to leave.
Is this a very English thing? Because this is what happens in my family house also.
Maybe that's our thing. You know, we just sit and stoically put up with it, right?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, no, we don't do that. We don't take ourselves off. We don't get ourselves, you know, time to ourselves. So a lot of it for me has been unlearning a lot of stuff that I've been taught, which was true.
Mm.
But it's also, and I think particularly as women, we are brought up to want to make, and this is for men too, but we're taught to want to make everything okay. We're taught to, you know, be responsible, to feel like we're responsible for everybody else's experience. And we're there to fix things if they're wrong, and we're there to make things better for our children, for our partners, whatever. And a lot of the work that I've been doing is about unpicking that and understanding, which I think fit with me and Damien's relationship, we never understood that there was two realities or multiple realities. We were in a situation where he was the disciplinarian, I was the child, and one of us had to win. Like, one of us was going to come out on top.
Yeah.
And the work that I've been doing is around, okay, that's, we don't have to, one of us doesn't have to win. It's not a war.
Yeah.
You can think your thing and I can think my thing. And then it's kind of about re-education, because I was stuck in a pattern with Damien for so long where I self-silenced. That becomes, you know, what's the expectation?
Mm.
And so it's taking a while to kind of find that balance now where it's like, no, I get to have my experience and you have your experience.
Yeah.
And they don't have to be the same and we don't have to agree. And you don't have to make me feel the same way as you and vice versa. We can both carry on next to each other. Or not, because actually I'm of a higher value to myself now than I've ever been. And it's not acceptable for me to keep pushing little Emma down and telling her she's not, her needs aren't important, because they are important. And if that means I have to lose everything else, so be it.
Mm.
And that's the decision that has to be made. It's like we're either going along and Emma gets to matter as much, or we don't go along.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like, everything that you're saying is giving me goosebumps, because I feel like this is something that I've been experiencing myself very strongly over the past sort of 6 months,
yeah,
a year. You know, I've had this massive period of growth, and yeah, things have to recalibrate with you, or they get left behind, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I was going to say, is one of the things that I've been learning around being able to cope with other people being dysregulated, particularly the kids. One of the things that I've been learning in that way was to, again, comfort. A lot of my work's been about kind of parts work and inner child work. And so a lot of what I've started to do and what I find so helpful is that nurturing and looking after ourselves like we are somebody that we love with no other agenda. And that turning around to yourself and saying, yeah, you know, it's okay that you feel dysregulated right now. It's okay that you're feeling stressed because your kid won't get the shoes on. It's okay that you're feeling frustrated because your partner's doing this. It's okay, because that's really normal. And we always make, like we were talking before, we make ourselves bad for feeling strongly about stuff. We feel strongly about stuff because we care. And it's about reaching in, and I find touching my skin or, you know, touching my hand really helpful in when the kids and my partner are behaving in ways that is not helpful to me. To take myself aside and kind of really recognize that I need to be comforted in order for me to be the adult and keep my nervous system kind of regulated. So those are the two main pieces that I've been learning and have really helped me since I stopped drinking.
Yeah, they're fairly major ones. just little changes.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, other than doing this massive giant project that is the Australian Alcohol Experiment,
yes.
How else can people work with you? I mean, I know you've got one-on-one coaching clients and you've got group coaching, your coaching extravaganza. How can people work with you?
So if you'd like to work with me, like Amy said, I do one-to-one. I've got a webinar coming up on Monday the 25th. At 7 p.m. So you can come on and do that with me. It's 5 surprising ways that a break from alcohol can be effortless and change your life. So we've got that. And then, as Amy said, the Aussie Alcohol Experiment. And my email, my website address is hoperisingcoaching.com.
Okay. And can people find you on Instagram also?
They can find me on Instagram at Hope Rising Coaching as well.
Lovely. All right. So there's so many amazing options to work with the lovely Emma and have her calm tones soothe you through the process of whatever it is you need to work through. Good luck for the launch, Em.
Thank you, my love.
It's lovely that you've been able to sit here with me and have this little chat while you're in crazy, crazy, crazy get it going mode. But I really appreciate it and always appreciate your insights.
Oh, and I so appreciate you having me here. And I'm so looking forward to hanging out with you on Sunday for your beautiful red wine tasting.
Cheers. Cheers. See you then.
Cheers. I said with my cup of tea. Ding.
That was a lovely pleasure to have Emma here. She is such a wealth of knowledge, and as I've said before, the Alcohol Experiment is a life-changing program, and to have an Aussie version of it led by beautiful Emma is quite a coup, I think. So that's definitely something to seek out if you're looking for additional support. As always, thank you for being here. You know you can find my non-alcoholic drinks reviews on my website, drybutwet.com.au. Follow me along on Instagram, drybutwet. And I have upcoming events in Melbourne and Sydney, monthly in Melbourne. Sydney, my first one is the 16th of August, which will be a non-alcoholic wine tasting. It's going to be amazing. And until next week, bottoms up, chin chin, and cheers.